10:02, so we'll go ahead and call it all meeting to order and if I could roll call.
Member Gallahorn.
Here.
Dr. Hamilton.
Present.
Mr. Harmon. Member Hemshoot.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Hull.
Here.
Member Michael.
Okakia.
Member Thompson.
Here.
Colonel Van Meter. Chair Fields.
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum to do business.
Okay, thank you. We all stand wherever we're at for a Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Can I have an adoption, please? Motion.
This is Rebecca. I move to adopt the agenda, what do we say, as written?
Yep. This is Sue Hull. I second.
Member Thompson second, is that correct?
That was Member Hull.
Member Hull, okay. Member Hull seconded. Okay, any discussion? Hearing no discussion, roll call, please.
Member Gallahorn.
Yes.
Dr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Harmon is absent. Member Hemshoot.
Yes.
Vice Chair Hull.
Yes.
Member Michael. Member Thompson.
Yes.
Colonel Van Meter. Chair Fields.
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes.
Mr. Chair, your motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Any disclosures of potential conflicts of interest of any board members regarding this agenda or this agenda today? Hearing no potential conflicts of interest, that takes care of that item. There is no public comment for this work session agenda today, so we don't have that. And then, Commissioner Johnson, you're up.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody on the board who is able to make this time and day work, and I appreciate all the others that are online and listening in. I'm very excited that we're finally at this meeting. I'm eager, looking very much forward to showing you the work that we've done since our meeting on October 5th. And though I was very grateful and excited as we ended our final AKED Challenge meeting on October 4th, I'm even more excited now, and I think you'll see why. So I look forward to you seeing the work that we've done. But before we walk through the presentation, I really must thank a few people who've invested in what you're going to see today, because I think it makes an important point. So I'm going to take a few minutes to thank some folks. First, I want to mention Tim Parker and the NEA. Over the past 2 months, as we've started looking at the next steps and coming to a conclusion of the committee meeting, Tim Parker has spent several hours with me and others on the team processing the recommendations, processing what we've learned from the committee work. So what you see today, his fingerprints on several components of what you see. And I want the board and I want to ask him to acknowledge the assistance that he's given to me. He represents thousands of teachers in our state, thousands. And he's nourished the classroom perspective in this work. So a huge thank you to Tim and for the teachers of Alaska for being a thought partner and really a true supporter of what we're trying to accomplish with the ATN Challenge. Next, I want to thank Lisa Parity and the Alaska Council of School Administrators. The board should also recognize that after almost every meeting we've had in the last 12 months, Lisa has almost immediately texted me afterwards to offer her time, her energy, her expertise. She's taken the time to remain informed and help lead a collaborative, ongoing conversation and dialogue in the state. And I appreciate the eagerness that she has shown in offering her help and assistance. She's also been and will be particularly involved in the development of action steps going forward as she represents the superintendents in the state. So I hope the board will thank Lisa. Thank you very much. I want to thank Norm Wooten and AASB. If oil was $100, $180 a barrel, Alaska couldn't buy the kind of support we've received from AASB. They have offered and supported the AKN Challenge from the very, very beginning. There has been no hesitation or sheepishness from Norm or the AASB leadership team. They've committed to this process early and have never let up. They've spent scarce resources, their resources, on bringing people to meetings, purchasing advertising, and publishing a newsletter that has highlighted the challenge each time. So I look forward to those of you on the board that will be attending the AASB meeting in November. I hope you'll grab a microphone at some point and express the board's sincere appreciation to AASB, their staff, Lisa, and Tim. I don't have time to list all of the staff in the need that has contributed to the presentation you'll see today, but pretty much everybody in the department, I think the board owes a debt of gratitude. Certainly the staff that supported you during the committee meetings, that's Aaron, Sam, Marcy, Todd, Mindy, Deb, Sarah, Santa, Bob, Sandra, am I missing? Now Melissa. Fill in the blanks if I miss anybody. And I also need to mention Paul Frussing, who didn't come to the meetings, but who was here minding the shop while we were all traveling and taking care of things here. He deserves a big thank you. So thanks to all those folks, but I want the board to know that after October 5th, Deb Riddle stepped up to the plate and deserves special recognition for leading the effort since that day. The board could not have asked for someone with a better attitude and a get-her-done spirit. She really rallied the rest of us. She rallied the team. She organized the work. She gave us all the clarity we needed to get to the point we are today. So I know the board will, especially after they see her presentation today, will be very grateful and thankful for the work she's done along with the rest of the team here. A lot of other folks have contributed and offered assistance. The governor's office over the last few weeks has been really particularly engaged and helpful. I want to especially mention John Hosey and his interaction with me and just helping walk through this process, and he's been very supportive too. The reason I wanted to take this much time to recognize these folks is that the board has to recognize, they have to celebrate, they have to value the level of unity and collaboration that has resulted from the people I just mentioned. Their character and commitment to Alaska students have brought them together in unprecedented ways. Whatever we hoped to accomplish, whatever we had hoped to accomplish when we started this work was never, ever possible without the kind of teamwork that they have demonstrated. These associations and their leaders have elevated this work over other policy differences that always exist. They found a way to come together around a shared vision for an excellent education for every student and to stand before Alaskans and say with confidence, together, we have what it takes to make our public education system work for more and more of our students. Their unity and their willingness to stand together is going to speak very loudly during this upcoming legislative session. So, it's based on their leadership that I'm very excited to update you on the work that we've done so far. So, I'm going to make a few introductory comments and hopefully set the stage. And then Deb's going to come in and really dive down in the weeds of how we got to where we are today and set us up for the work that the folks that I mentioned and the associations are going to help lead us through in the coming days. First, the reports from the five committees the board received on October 4th were very clear. That was a very exciting day for all of us. Through that work and through the verbal reports that were given that day, Alaskans made clear that there are three primary commitments that they expect we make for Alaska students. First commitments are Alaskans are making a commitment to student success. Second, Alaskans are making a commitment to the safety and well-being of our students. And third, Alaskans are making a commitment to support responsible learners. So I'm just going to say a word about each of those three commitments because that's really going to be the focal point for guiding us as we go forward. Deb's going to do a lot more explanation. I just want to touch on one, student success. Alaskans want students to succeed, and that was loud and clear on October 4th and October 5th. The board talked about student success repeatedly, not just in reading and math, but in multiple areas that show the strength of our students and their character. Student success is more than just academic achievement, but it's not less than academic achievement. And this is where we'll focus on student learning and measurement in this commitment. The other commitment, safety and well-being, this was something we heard loud and clear on both of those days also. And we heard it loud and clear throughout the Education Challenge, not just on the Safety and Well-Being Committee, but in the other areas. Parents, Alaskans expect us to prioritize the safety and well-being of their students. And we know that in order for students to learn well, they must feel safe and be in a healthy context. The third commitment is a commitment to support responsible learners. And this is a very exciting focus of the challenge. Support includes tribal compacting. It includes our focus on educators. It includes the steps that we need to take to modernize and personalize instruction in the learning process. So you'll see in your packet, and as Deb goes through, that all 13 recommendations from the five committees are color-coded based on these commitments. The commitments grew out of the committee work. And the action plans that Deb's going to talk about will flow out of these commitments. So from here on out, we have three commitments. We have 13 goals or recommendations, and then we're going to have action plans that Deb will help explain. There's so much more that I could say. I have been walking around the department so excited as this has come together, but I'm more interested in you hearing what Deb has to say at this point and giving you an understanding of how we got here, how we got to this point, and how the work will proceed. And then once she's done with her presentation, we will take your comments and suggestions and ideas as we move into the next phase of this work. So Deb, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, so when we came back to the office after the meeting on October 4th, we had a lot of really good ideas and 13 recommendations, and we had to find a way to put those into something that we would be able to like wrap our heads around. So we locked ourselves in a room, we cut all the recommendations into many little pieces, stuck them on the wall, paper was flying everywhere, sparks were coming out from under the door. It was a very exciting time for us as a staff to come together and look at the work that goes across the department. So as we were looking at each of these recommendations, we were trying to categorize them in a way that we could actually do something with. And so we looked at them as different ways to organize them. We had action steps, we had policy, we had, you know, how could we organize it. It came down to who was going to do the work and where the overlap was. And so that was how we were able to settle on something where we could actually begin moving forward in a really productive way across the department. So we looked at the reorganization, and you can see on the chart that is up on the screen right now, we have each of the divisions kind of down the center at the bottom, Division of Student Learning, Division of Educators, and
and Educator and School Excellence, the Division of Finance and Support Services, and then we have the department and we have the stakeholders. All of these pieces need to be working together in order to make this work go forward. So once we figured out who did the work, we looked at what work each of us would do individually, or each of the divisions do individually, and how they overlapped. And so we had, first we started off with a linear model, and then we tried a triangle, and we tried all different sorts of graphic organizers, and then we came up with this this circle. It was an easy way for us to see what was going on and how everything was going to fit together. And we really wanted to honor all the work that everybody has done. And so in the center, the school board vision of an excellent education for every student every day, we thought that should be front and center. The work that the department was doing that honors each of the divisions and the expertise of the people within those divisions, as well as all of the work that the committees have done with those 13 recommendations. So on one page, I thought we did a pretty good job of taking everything, everybody's thinking, and trying to like synthesize it into one piece of paper. We realized that this is kind of wordy, we knew that, but in order to move forward, we needed to have a starting place. And so this is where we landed, and we were really proud of this. There was some wordsmithing. We had to take each of the recommendations and kind of give it a title. So we looked at that so we could fit it onto our chart, and we talked about that actually quite a bit, trying to figure out what those even, how to synthesize and get those, each of those recommendations into a way that we could, where the title was representative of that. Of that recommendation. So we got this up, we had paper and sticky notes and tape, and Santa kept taping things together. We had to cut them apart. I mean, it was a really nice, the energy was really positive, and I was really glad that we all got to be part of that. So are there any questions about this particular piece and kind of the thinking behind it? Okay, so the next thing, once we started, we got the recommendations, we had to kind of think of a way of how are we going to talk about this when we roll it out. So I worked on the standard rollout, and I thought it would be a really good idea to look at the different phases of rolling something like this out. So we have an awareness phase, a transition phase, and an implementation phase. So this awareness phase is when, as a department, we figure out ourselves what that means, how we're going to message that within the department, how we're going to talk about this outside the department, and what are the pieces that need to be in place in order to move it forward. So, for instance, I worked on the student learning, in the student learning group, and one of the recommendations was to talk about having standards, clearly defined standards. Well, we need to have those content centers. We need to maybe get some of that work that we've done already on standards. What does that work? How do we get that out there? And clearly talk about what those targets are that we want to have. And so, yeah, that was an awareness piece. And so we had each of the different groups look at their recommendations and decide what is it that would need to be done first. You know, what do the department staff need to know? What do we, what kind of messaging are we going to do? And that was where we started with that awareness phase. And then we tried to move it out, like, to the end. At the end, what would we like that to look at? And this is really high level. This is possible ideas. This is not exactly what we're going to do. It's going to morph. It's going to change as we move through the process and find out. The best way for it to go, and I don't want to kind of put this in a rigid box because I think it's fluid and I think there's going to be input that's going to change the direction that we're going to go. So we looked at the implementation piece, and what would we want that to look like at the end? Very brief, you can see this is very, very high level. And then that transition piece is what kind of things do we need to do to get from awareness to implementation? And then those are the steps in the middle. So we thought about that, and this document will change. It will morph. We need to tease it out a little bit more. But this is the high-level vision of what we had. So on the next page, one of the things that we felt was really important is to look at the connections to the work that we're already doing. So there are things that we could do now just by knowing what those recommendations are in our everyday work. So when we talk about the ESSA plan, when we talk about user certification, how do these overlap? So I was just at the CTE Professional Development Conference, and I had to give a presentation on the state of CTE in Alaska. And I'm kind of new to the CTE world, and so I had my presentation, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to talk about the education challenge because I know a lot about that. And so I started talking about the connections that CTE had within the ESSA state plan, within the evidence-based practices that CTE courses have towards graduation rate, towards engagement. And I was kind of a call to action, and there was a lot of energy in the room. And in that presentation, I had one of the members from the modernization group that was in there, and he actually stood up and talked about some of the, and in a very excited fashion, about the things that he had took away from that and had started talking about in his school. So it was very, very exciting. And everybody really wanted to hear, and he was talking about, the pathways with the CTE focus. And so the education challenge is, it's the transformational changes, that the connections that we can do right now is kind of where we, I thought it was really important, so I kind of pushed everybody to do that. But and now they've kind of drank the Kool-Aid and we're good. And we also looked at some of the promising practices and examples, and I thought if we could reach out, and as we are talking with people in the field, as we hear what districts and schools are doing, we can highlight some of those promising practices, Alaska education as a whole, how those fit in there. And then, sometimes if people are doing something that's really good, we want to capture that and provide that out to everybody else as a model. And we also, capacity, you don't want to talk about it, but it's always there. Our staff is a little bit smaller, and the districts are really busy, and so we had to really think about what were some of the things that we needed to look at and be very careful about when we were asking districts and schools and teachers to do something different, that we're not overloading them with new stuff. How can we weave in what we're already doing with the vision map from the Education Challenge to enhance what's going on and move it forward? And then be realistic about what we could actually do. Any questions on this section?
I have one question.
Yes.
This is Barbara Thompson, and with regard to, I see draft all over it.
Absolutely.
If we have suggestions, I know the language will change and morph. When do you want those kind of suggestions? Of course, I focused in on the group that I was in, and there's one area that I'd like to say, what about this?
Right.
So I don't want to, this is not the time for it, but when do you want input?
I think any input, if you want to, channel it through how you normally channel your input through.
Okay.
We can look at that. Because I know that when we looked at this, we did it in our little group, so that we would need to run this through very, very closely with the people who were on those committees. And one of the things that I, as we were looking at this, I think, I wanted to put down, possible on everything, possible milestones, possible, everything was like a possibility and not set in stone. I didn't want to put anything that, we're actually going to do this and this. But
I think when we get through the entire presentation, part of the conversation we're going to have is, what input does the board have now, and then establish some guardrails for what and where we still can incorporate input and what needs to be set in stone and be handled so we can do that after we get through.
Because I know the board members were really invested in this, and we might want to make sure that everything is completely known. Okay, let's see here. Make sure I'm hitting everything. So a lot of the work that we've done so far is going to populate this report to the governor. So the governor wants to know what we did, what was the process, and kind of where we're headed. This will help he'll look at this and make some decisions about what you need to do first. But because it's going to the governor, we need to provide him with some information and his staff as well. So one of the things, so if you want us to, we can just kind of go through this. If you look at, let's see, go down to page 2. We have the table of contents, we have the mission and the vision. These are all straight from the website and the work that the board has already done. We get to page 3. The commissioner is going to create an executive summary that outlines the vision, and it's going to be, if people don't want to read this entire document, the gist of it will be right here. And so this is what we're working on next. And then if you go to page 4, Derry Covey created the introduction that talks about the education challenge from when the idea formed until October 4th when the recommendations were actually brought forth. And so he's provided this for us. And then we'll go right into, you know, here's our, you know, who's going to do what, how the work is going to be done. This is very inward facing. This is our blueprint for how things are going to move forward. And then we have that modified logic model that has the awareness, transition, and implementation. And this, as we get to a final piece, we'll insert that here, that high level thinking. And then we get into the meat of the report. And so for each of the strategic priorities, we have provided, we took the goals and the rationale for each of the 5 committees, and all 13 goals and all the rationales are included in this report. So every word that the committee did is right here for everybody to read. At the end of each section, each of the 5 priorities, we're going to do a logic model. And the logic model will look at what we're investing, what the department's investing, what the stakeholders are investing, who we're trying to reach, what are the activities that we want to see happening here, really high level, subject to change. We want to make sure, and this is where I want to put possible inputs, possible participants, possible activities. Because this is going to the governor, and the planning, the actual planning of the action steps and the activities has not begun yet. We feel that that's going to be really important, that we involve the stakeholders in that, and that it's not done in isolation at the department. And then the short, medium, and long-term goals that can come from the logic model we showed, the overarching awareness, transition, implementation piece. And on this page, this is where we'll talk about capacity within each priority. We'll talk about the promising practices, and then we have the connections piece. And I think this is going to be really important in that connections piece, where we talk about the connections with DTE, the connections with students with disabilities, the connections with early learning. So the department right here, this is where we'll, as a group, kind of figure out what those connections are. There's also a column in the middle that talks about division lead. Some of these priorities are specific to one division. Some of the priorities have overlap, and so that's where we'll look at that, where that overlap, it'll be designated in here. So this will be like an at-a-glance kind of where we would like to go with each of these priorities. And once again, this is the report for the governor. This is giving him and his team a good idea of the way of our synthesizing the information that the recommendations are to where we think we can go. And once again, being mindful of our capacity, so we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. We need to make sure that what we say we can do, we can actually do well. Are there any questions so far? And so that just repeats, it has goals, rationales, all the way to, till we get to the end. And one of the things I would like to include in this report are some letters of support from the different organizations that the commissioner spoke about earlier. And there's been a lot of positive energy, and I want to make sure that the governor and his team understand how well received and how collaborative this work has already been, and that if we, on anything that we move forward on, we have support from a lot of different organizations, and that we're not just, you know, coming up with stuff in isolation. Okay, so the next document is kind of an example of what a logic model might look like within the report. So this is very drafty, very high level, and we wanted to get an idea. And so, you know, possible inputs. So this is, the inputs are, what investments are we making? And so it's, you know, what are we bringing to the table? The expertise of the deed staff, any funds that we might have available, and this will be done, each one of these will be done in collaboration with department staff as well as some stakeholders to kind of to flesh this out. Possible participants, who do we want to reach? Who's going to be involved? How is this collaboration going to move forward? And then you can see we've got department people, we've got teachers, administrators, superintendents, stakeholders, organizations, and the university system and teacher prep program. So it brings everybody to the table. And then some activities that might move this forward, once again, very high level and very subject to fine-tuning and subject to change. You know, because there might be a barrier that we don't know about, and we might have to shift directions. So we want to make sure that we leave an opportunity for that kind of flexibility. And once again, the district lead, or the department division lead on this, and then these outcome or impact, these short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals, these came directly from that high-level graphic that we showed you earlier with the awareness, transition, and implementation. Capacity, and once again, promising practices, and the connections piece, I think, is going to be very important. One of the things I noticed on the connections, we've got the RTI conference. You know, what are some things that are going to help move this forward? And, you know, I think we have to be really open to brainstorm about all of the things that we can talk about in the connections, and that we're really intentional, that we have everybody at the table who needs to be at the table. Are there any questions? Yes.
Yeah, this is Rebecca. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. I had two really quick questions. I saw surveys mentioned many times, and I think there's been a fairly, I might be wrong about this, but it seems like there's almost always a dismal response to surveys, that it's hard to get people to engage with surveys. But these surveys are actually going to be really fundamental. So I guess it's both a question and a recommendation as the department continues to build capacity for the challenge or for the outcomes of the challenge. The question is, how do we get better engagement, and could you, as part of talking about this, as we talk about this across the state, encourage people to watch for surveys or somehow highlight that input is needed more than ever?
So that's a really good comment. I'm going to, for example, I'm working on science standards, and I have enlisted the help of the science organization to help get that information out. I think we're going to rely heavily on the stakeholders as well to reach out to the different groups that we're looking at. But that is a good one of the buckets that we were going to put at the bottom was barriers. But we wanted to be positive, so we didn't put it on there. We'll just have that in our own notes. But that will be something that we'll look at. Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess that might be my second comment has to do with the connection section. It seems like a really important step in all of this is going to be to reach out to the, potentially might be, I'm going to follow your leadership on this, but it seems like you'd want to check with the committees themselves about connections they had in mind as they drafted their goals. To see if there's, you know, something they thought of that you don't have written down. So,
yeah, the committee thought their work was done. I think that note. Where they're not off the hook yet. So absolutely. Any more questions? Okay, so now we're right back to the beginning where we started. As the work that we've done so far has been planning and looking at, you know, what we can do, how we want to go about it. We needed to come up with some branding and some messaging and something that the public can wrap their heads around. The commissioner was really insistent that we have something that was simple and eye-catching and that was instantly recognizable about the education challenge. And so what we had to do, I think in order to get to this point, we had to really dig deep into each of the recommendations and the rationales. Because we had, you know, just from my experience, I had a good knowledge of the student learning piece, but I didn't have that good a grasp on the teacher excellence one. So when we start looking at those as a whole, we were able to dig deep and then come up with something like this. So the commissioner brought this to us with some ideas. We worked together to fine tune it. It still is going to need some, there's a little bit of wordsmithing I think we'd like to do with this before it goes out to the public, but I think this is going to be the branding, the piece that helps us spread the message and get people on board. And once again, you know, we've got the excellent education for every student every day in the middle. That's, you know, that is the ultimate goal. And if you go to the next page, we color coded all of these. And when we looked at the supremely responsible learners, that is a huge amount of green. That is going to require partnerships and work with other agencies, and that is going to be probably the biggest lift that we have, is all of that support. And so as we, you know, move forward, that, like I say, the committee work and the partnerships, that's just beginning. We are not going to be able to move forward with action steps until we get input from all of those.
And in a real sense, you know, as we've said many times, student success and same thing will be won't happen without partnerships and support. And I'm really excited about that. Or I'm excited about all of it, but I'm excited about the potential and all that will happen within that green category around the state, because if that really is when I talk about inspiring communities to want great schools badly enough to make it happen, that's the making it happen right there. That's the support that we have to do for students to be successful and for them to be safe and have well-being. So and if you go back, Aaron, just one page to the graphic there, I just want to emphasize to the board again that these are not three new ideas that just came from nowhere. Hopefully you see, and if you remember the reports and the just inspirational speeches that were given on October 4th, this grew out of that. This flows out of that. And it became apparent, as we heard person after person after person speak, that these are the commitments everybody was making together. We were all in the room. We were all celebrating the conclusion of the hours and hours of committee meetings and that hard work. And we were all getting up saying, this is what we're committed to. And so going forward, we want to honor the commitments that we heard on October 4th. We want to honor the commitments that we saw through the work of the committees and the conversations that took place there. And so I think we've done a great job, staff has done a great job of connecting this with the work that has happened to date, and providing a framework for the work that needs to happen from here on out, and the developing of action plans with our partners and that sort of thing.
So one of the things that we have in the works to go along with this are some media cards or talking points. Aaron, do you want to talk about what media cards, what that means?
Sure. This is Aaron Harden for the Career Director Information Officer here. So what we're working on with staff currently is by strategic priority coming up with these one-pagers. And it's just a way to organize talking points, not only for department staff, but for the commissioner. We put them together on a variety of topics when the commissioner goes out and speaks on a particular area. And so the media cards are a one-pager that we would want to share with the board and with staff so that we're all sharing the same message. And they're structured in a way of a three-legged stool is the framework for them. So you have your core message on the top of the stool, and then the three legs are what are the stories, statistics, and sound bites that support that message. And so I've been working with department staff on listening to their committee's presentations from before, the planning that we've done since then as a group, and how to basically organize their recommendations and priorities in this particular format. And so that's one of the messaging tools that we're currently working on.
And those are going to be available for, this is Deb Riddle again. This information will be available to you. It will be available to the governor's office, as well as all of the staff members. So as we get questions, we'll be able to, you know, respond in a way that's really cohesive. Are there any questions about this so far? Well, that was all of our work.
Deb, this is Chair Fields. I think it'd be good, since obviously we spent a half day kind of deliberating on this, and you got it down to three good bullets there. Well, I think it's obviously in the vote, but just, I think it's important that the board members chime in with initial thoughts on especially the last couple pages there, since that was where we got hung up on, you know, in the room. So what are people's thoughts, comments? Are they headed in the right direction? What are your thoughts?
This is Barbara. I'll jump in first. Barbara Thompson. And I'm looking at the three. I'm happy to see the three. I think these are the right three. I'm not sure if the wording underneath the topics is the right wording. I think it's close, and I don't know that we want to make it long and every single point that we've thought. So, but I think there's right three, and I'm happy to see these three. So I'm real happy with this.
This is Rebecca. My turn. My one question, I'm thrilled with this. I'm so thrilled with this. I left with such a sense of confusion on October 5th, and you guys have made this so succinct. I'm really excited. I am wondering about the word responsible learners. What does that mean? Or can you guide me to why that word responsible in the green section?
Yeah, that's my fault. And, so I'm going to ask Tim Parker here, because we've had ongoing discussions about that word, as well as discussions in the department. Tim's suggestion was support for reflective learners, and that connects well with teachers and folks out in the field. You've heard me say before, we will not improve what happens in our classrooms without a strong emphasis on the part the student plays in learning. Learning doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just because you have a great teacher. It happens because kids choose to learn. It's a learning, not a passive activity. And I think we need to say that well. I like reflective too, and so I've gone back and forth. And I'm not saying that we're stuck on responsible, but you can be you cannot be responsible without being reflective. So if you're responsible, you're going to be reflective on what you're doing. But you can be reflective and not responsible. So I can reflect on what I've done. I can reflect on what I've learned and still do nothing about it. And so we could spend the rest of the day, and Tim and I have probably spent a day in discussing that. So, you know, it's something that I will keep thinking about. Ultimately, the board will get to decide exactly what that word is. This is not my product, but I, you know, I hope the board will give me an opportunity to advocate for the word that I think, and then I certainly want the board to hear the perspective of some others. And then at the same time, I don't want us to spend too much time on one word. It's more the overall message that the key word in the green section is support. And, you know, the staff has told me over and over that, you know, we don't want to take away from that word with the other words. But the key to that section is support. We have to support our learners. We support them. I think if we have conversations about tribal compacting, that's going to be a huge support for many of our learners. As we have conversations and work to support our educators, that's supporting our learners. As we talk about personalized instruction, that's the support for the learners. So we, as Member Thompson said, we want to keep working on the wording, but I also want us, we need to get into the action plans, and we need to start working with superintendents and other folks to develop how we're going to implement this with our teachers. And so at some point, our three commitments, and that's what these are. These are three commitments that we're making to meet Alaska's education challenge. We need to settle on the wording and move past it. And so that will probably be a focus of our attention for a few days coming up immediately. So thank you for the question.
Other board members, I'll call you by name if I need to. Go ahead, if anybody jump in. Okay, Member Gallahorn, what do you think? You weren't there, but what do you think about how this is fleshing out?
Good morning, everybody, and my apologies for missing the last few meetings. With that said, everything I've read, and I need to get caught up a bit more, everything I've seen and read, I'm liking it very much. Great work.
Great. Thank you, Kenny. Member Hamilton?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. You know, coming up with the circle instead of the pyramids or the triangles or all the other things, it really was a great way for me to see in diagram form how this all connects together. And I like Rebecca left a little confused at the end of the meeting, too, how it was all going to come out visually. I'm a very visual person, and so that was extremely helpful. And as somebody who's tactical in my own life and work, and I'm ready and excited to see the next steps of the action steps and seeing some meat put on the bones. Everything that you've brought up to this point, I agree with. I have no further things to offer except let's make sure that our action steps are really tangible and they are able to be completed. They're within a budget that we can afford, and that it is something that is really going to be transformative. As I left that day, I made mention, I think, in front of the group that of the 13 of them, I didn't feel like all of them were transformative. I feel like some of them were ongoing, and the things we're already doing, want to make them better, but they were not new transformative. So I'm hoping that, again, some of those action steps are going to be in the transformative category. Thank you.
Member Hall?
Thank you to all those who participated in building this plan. I feel good about it. I like the word responsible, and now that we've learned a little more about how that resulted as it has. You know, that the terminology there is a little different from the other two, rather than being a noun. Well, I guess it still maybe is. But anyway, I'm happy with it, and it'll be fine. As I look through the plans and the report, you know, as a co-chair of the Modernization Committee, we were pretty succinct in our official recommendations, and they're large, and we chose to, you know, have these large generic kind of recommendations like deep systemic collaboration, and then, you know, we had a list of action steps that was to go to the commissioner that I hope will receive some consideration. But in comparison to the other committees, I'm kind of in retrospect looking back and saying we maybe should have chosen a few of those action steps. You know, we were looking at more overarching themes rather than specific actions that might be taken. And I'm hopeful that, you know, I just don't think it's the time and place to change that now. But I'm, as I look at the work that's been done to date, as Member Hamilton was just saying, they're solid, generic approaches to taking action. But in terms of the specifics of what actually will be accomplished, I'm interested in seeing specific transformational actions, I guess, at some point to see if this really will be different or if it will just be more talk about good things that need to be done and not necessarily specific actions that transform the system. So I'm good with what I see here and looking forward to learning more about the specifics of how we might begin. Let me give you just one example. When I read about, and I don't have this page in front of me, I guess I should. There's one place where it lists challenges, and then it has, oh, here it is, page 2 of 2, I guess. It says capacity challenges, fiscal, reduce less adoption of science standards, one-time increment, 100K. And, you know, maybe that's just an example. But in my mind, as part of the Student Learning Committee, we were looking at how we articulate standards in general, not and really quite different from the way we've approached standards in the past, you know, single subject content standards, but rather looking at what is it kids should know and be able to do, what are the things that kids really will need to be prepared for the future. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't develop science standards, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm looking for things that might relate to that larger transformative goal of really identifying how have things changed in the last 100 years since we established our current kind of expectations for graduates. And yeah, so that's just one example of kind of what I'm looking for that might be more transformative. But I'm pleased with what I see, and I'm hopeful for the future. That's my comment.
Well, thank you, everybody, for commenting. I agree. I like the students' peers. I like being responsible with kids, and even with my own kids, when they grow up, I want them to be responsible. Not necessarily reflective, but responsible with that reflection, whatever that is. You can be reflective, like Mission said, and have no action. So the outcome, in my mind, should be responsible at the end of their, you know, the learning and whatever education they go to. So I like the areas, I like where you guys are taking it, and I think the tasks that we've given you, that we gave you back in October, you've gotten some good, definitely good work done, a lot of good work done. And so I guess at this point, next steps, I'm assuming someone's going to speak to that, where we go from here. At what point does this draft come off? approaching it timeline-wise, et cetera.
Okay. So I want to speak to a few things I heard in the comments or maybe just overall what's next and how do I see this playing out. First of all, I appreciate the comments on wording and different things like that. And I'll be connecting with people in the department, people outside the department, and continuing to figure out how best to say what it is we want to say from those three commitments that came out of the challenge. So the action steps I want to speak to, and Jeff showed you how we are getting there. So she showed you the format that will lead us through to develop those action steps. But as we've been doing that, it's become increasingly apparent to me that I want to be careful not to just slot down on the table a whole stack of action steps that we have not worked with our partners to develop. Lead Comparative contacted me and volunteered to help coordinate the discussions and collaborations with AFB and NEA and TIN, and the amount of time they've invested to get us to this point, I just began to feel uneasy that I was walking away from some really good counsel when it comes to fleshing out how this is going to actually operationalize in our schools. And so I've already begun having those discussions. What we have is a framework to make sure that when we develop these action plans, that first of all, it's methodical and doesn't drift away from the vision and the recommendations that the committees gave us. So, you know, education's one of those things. It's kind of like asking, okay, which wing of the plane do you not need? That's a hard question. Well, you start talking about these recommendations and the details and the action plans, and you need it all. And so what we have is a framework to help us stay focused and not drift off into every other need that may exist out there and stay focused. What we also have, though, are partners that want to see this work well all the way down to the classroom level. And if we plot down on the table all the action steps in the next 2 weeks, we'll have not connected with those folks. And they are eager. They've communicated with me since October 5th. They are eager to be engaged in that work. So I think I'm going to ask the board for some patience. Because I have come to the conclusion that the action step process is going to take longer than maybe I thought it was on October 5th. There are some that are going to be low-hanging fruit and easy to get down on paper within the next few weeks. There are going to be some that become apparent and get fleshed out over the next 3 or 4 months. And so the action steps are going to be a work in progress for some time going forward. And then if some actions are completed or go well, others may be added. So the action step process has been a point of a lot of conversation, both in the department and with our partners. And I'm eager to get to that because based on those conversations, I'm confident we're going to have some good action plans. I don't think it would be as good as if we just sat down here in the department and wrote them without that engagement. So when Deb made a comment that we're not done with the committee work, you know, it's not going to look like it did the first 6 months, but we're going to engage some of those folks, some of those partners, to review what we do, to suggest ideas, and to make sure that we have the highest likelihood possible that this will actually happen all the way through the system. And the other reality is, and you'll see this in my executive summary that I've written, really this is a call to action. This is a call to action for everybody in the system. This is not a report on what we are going to do in the department. What we can do and what we should do is fairly limited. What can and should happen out in the system is unlimited. And so the action steps need to reflect that as we go forward. So how long will it have draft audit? I hope the three commitments page gets taken off within the next very short time. And we'll run that by the board and get some input individually. Deb, Marcy, Santa, we'll be having individual calls with you as board members to say, you know, here's kind of where we settled. Do you have any final input, that sort of thing. The final report, I want to fill out within the next couple of weeks, because really we have 13 days before we have to have a board packet up for the December board meeting where you approve a report. And so some of that, a lot of that I want to flesh out in the next 2 weeks. The action plans will be, will have a few things on them, but they will not be complete by your December board meeting. But that will really be the last and final piece that will be worked on for the next several months. But I think the board will see everything up to that point. They'll see what action steps are starting to form, and then we'll be working with our partners to flesh those out in the coming months. And some of them will flesh out very quickly, I feel like. But like tribal compacting, that's something that's going to take quite some time to flesh out exactly what that looks like. We don't know. I mean, we can't tell you that over the next few weeks. We can put a few action steps in there in terms of communication and those sorts of things. So does that help at all, Chair Fields, in terms of how long draft will be on the pages? You will have a final report for the December meeting. The action steps, though, are going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, because I think from the sound of it, and I think other board members have mentioned, getting something that we can obviously go out and start using is really where we're at. You have the AASC coming up, and I know you have things too. So, that's kind of what we're looking at. At what point can we have drafts off of this and we can start using this? So thank you.
Right. And in terms of messaging, again, I think we all have to start with the commitments that became apparent through this process. Alaskans are committed to those three things for our public education system, and we all need to rally around that and begin our messaging around those three commitments. I know the associations are rallying around those commitments, and you know they're already doing a lot of work related to those commitments. This just helps us all have a shared vision. And then the board can talk about the 13 recommendations that came through the committee work and how they fit into those commitments. And then the board can even begin talking about action steps related to those. What the board doesn't want to do is go and give presentations and say, do this, do this, and do that from the action steps without our partners along with us. So I feel like, I've been walking around the department a little bit giddy. I feel like in terms of messaging and communication, we have so much right here. And it came directly from Alaska's Education Challenge and the work that was done there. We have a lot to talk about with our stakeholders, even just based on the three commitments. We have a lot to talk about. And I'm anxious to get into those conversations and be guided by those three commitments as we recognize what's already happening out in the system related to those commitments and as we work with our partners to make sure we are keeping those commitments for Alaska students.
Chair Fields, Rebecca, tonight.
Yeah, let's we'll go Member Hall and then Member Hampshire.
Oh, sorry, Rebecca, I don't have any urgency there. I just wanted to make a follow-up comment to my comment about action steps. The first really was just related to what I see as a dissonance between the recommendations that came from the Modernization Committee and what might have maybe been more effective in light of what was done in other committees relative to more specificity about kind of the top three actions. But I hear what the commissioner is saying relative to, needing to bring everyone along. I wasn't really looking for this report to have necessarily specific actions yet. So I completely agree with the commissioner's assessment about how it will take time. I just was trying to say when we having some significant systemic transformational concepts, it's going to be necessary to having people feel confidence. And so I'm hopeful as soon as we are comfortable with that to have a way to describe how the system will look different as a result of the Alaska Education Challenge. Otherwise, I think we fall into, you know, as one person said to me, oh yeah, this is the same old stuff that we had in the report 10 years ago. And so as soon as we can get to a little more transformational specificity, that would be wonderful. But I don't disagree with anything the commissioner said. End of comment.
So this is Rebecca. I guess I need to understand how, so there are some things that we could call low-hanging fruit. I don't want anybody to perceive us as prioritizing things. You know, obviously we should go forward where we can go forward, but how do we, I guess, how do we communicate so that people don't think, oh, you're doing these but not the others? Like, we need to be really clear that everything goes forward. It just may not go forward on the same timeline.
We say that.
Okay.
And we keep saying it. And yeah, I mean, we say it, we keep saying it, but that's not our message. We will have to say that in the work going forward, but really, we rally our state around these three commitments. And how those three commitments will happen, we have 13 goals that we can work toward, in addition to the hundreds of other goals that each district and school and classroom has already going. We have to recognize that the system isn't sitting there doing nothing. It already is. And so we're coming alongside to support, nourish, enhance, and expand what's already happening. And, you know, the Alaska Education Challenge process was for each committee to come up with transformational recommendations. And so we are taking on face value those recommendations as being what the committee said they were, which is out of our hours and hours and hours of discussion, here's our 3 or 1 transformational recommendation. Granted, all of us look at them from our own perspectives on how transformational they are. And then as we do action plans and we work with our local communities to implement them, you know, how they're transformational in those communities will probably look somewhat different. But if we keep these three commitments to Alaska's kids, and if we accomplish the 13 goals, it will transform the system. I'm not going to transform it and then do all this work. I'm going to do all this work to transform it. And so I appreciate Member Hull, your comments. I appreciate Member Hinshu, your question. I think they're both really relevant and will be important as we go forward that we don't lose sight of. We want change. We want things to be different. We're not looking at just rebranding and rewording what we've always done. What we're saying is we're dissatisfied with the results we're getting, and so we then have to get up and do something different. And hopefully that's what this leads us to as we flesh it out in greater and greater detail the farther into the system we get and flesh it out with those that will actually be doing the work.
Any other questions, comments from board members?
I have One other thing that somebody just reminded me of that is slightly off topic, but I would like to introduce to the Board of Education your new secretary, Melissa McCormick, who's sitting right here beside me. And we can't see her, but she's been on the job a couple weeks, and it seems like she's been here forever. She's just slipped right in, and she's doing a great job, and so I look forward to all of being able to meet her in person. Thank you, Margaret.
Welcome, Melissa, and I've already gotten several emails, so thank you for those and keeping me up to speed, and glad to have you on the team. I guess at this point, if the department is done, if there are any board members with closing comments, we'll go ahead and get on with the rest of our phase. Okay, I'm not hearing any, so thank you, Deb, for all the work you put in and presenting, and thank you for everybody there, ASB and Lisa Parity and Tim Parker. The names mentioned that the commission already mentioned, but just thank you for all the work that's, you know, sometimes a lot of talking, but that talking fleshes out the ideas. So thank you for all that work, and thank you for all the extra time you guys have put in. And with that being said, we will...
Chair Fields, can I just make one close comment?
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to say to the Board of Education, you're invested in this work, and each time we meet, I hear your passion and the heart that you're putting into it. So please don't feel shy about calling me or emailing me or texting me ideas, thoughts you have about this work going forward, because you started this work with your strategic planning, and if this work is effective, it'll be because Alaskans buy into it, and they will only buy into it if you're excited about it. And so everybody has to give a little. It's not going to be exactly the way you would do it or word it at the end of the day for all of us. But our state leaders in Alaska have inspired me in terms of their willingness to collaborate and come together and share a vision for an education system that works for more and more of our students. So I want you to feel like you've had the opportunity to say and offer and suggest the things that you want to, so that at the end of the day, you're as equally excited and committed to these three commitments and the work that's going to flow out of it based on the vision you had a year and a half ago or 2 years ago for strategic planning. So I'll look forward to any of those kind of comments or suggestions that you want to send our way.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. With that being said, we will adjourn our meeting at 11:15. Everybody have a good rest of your day.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
I'll see you again.